This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Jameis did it all on Monday Night Football last night. 9 of 10 passing, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Maybe most importantly, no interceptions. Dan Orlovsky, what'd you see from Jameis last night?
Last night was a player that took advantage of an opportunity. He said, it's national television, and they're going to give me the chance to go job. I love that Jameis went out with an aggressive mindset, but also had the accuracy to follow. The play-action bomb to Callaway, the blitz that we're going to break down later on the show to Callaway was an absolute pearl of a throw. Jameis Winston went and won that starting job for the New Orleans Saints last night.
And how about this for losses last night, Dan? Rookie running back Travis Etienne Jr. was lost for the season with a midfoot sprain that's Lisfranc that will require surgery. This afternoon, the Jacksonville Jaguars officially placed Etienne on injured reserve, which means he cannot come back this season, and he is out for the year, Laura.
Devastating news for the Jaguars there. More on the Saints and their quarterback situation is coming. In this case, why two could be better than one. We welcome you to NFL Live. Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, who you saw, Marcus Spears, and Adam Schefter here for the hour. Let's start, though, with a different set of quarterback questions. These coming out of Chicago, and here's what Bears head coach Matt Nagy said today about who we should expect to see on the field in their final preseason game.
Yeah, so we're going to start Justin for that game, and I think it's going to be a good opportunity for him. And then, you know, we'll be selective across the board for the other players as we go. To me, I look at it like, man, isn't this a great situation that we're in right now? And when you look at it that way and you understand you got guys that are all supporting each other, you got guys that are just playing great at the quarterback position, now you got to take it into the games and you got to produce. You have to produce. And we all have to produce. Now here come the live bullets, and where are we going to be at?
Great situation. Adam, where do we stand with the Bears quarterbacks right now?
Well, Laura, today Matt Nagy reaffirmed that Andy Dalton is the expected opening day starter for the Chicago Bears. Now, they're going to continue to get Justin Fields ready, give him long looks during the preseason. He gets to start this weekend's preseason finale against the Tennessee Titans. But right now, they continue to be on course to start Dalton. Of course, we all know how quickly these decisions can change in this league, but really, Matt Nagy's been consistent all through the offseason that Dalton is QB1 despite the play of Justin Fields going into the end zone right here and making the types of plays that is Chicago excited and clamoring for the rookie quarterback.
I'm not going to have a visceral reaction because I know that's what everybody is expecting. So I'm not going to do
well,
it. Yes, I am. What the hell is Matt Nagy doing?
Lame.
What is he doing, yo? Like, listen, this is a preseason, this is an offseason where you've had enough time to evaluate both of these guys. And clearly, Justin Fields gives you the best chance to win. Based on what I was watching, maybe I don't know enough, okay? But I saw an athletic quarterback as a rookie, yes, going through normal rookie growing pains. Did he have the best performance in this last preseason game? No. But I tell you this, he gives you more of an opportunity to win than Andy Dalton does. Based on the football that I know. Because as a defender, I want Andy Dalton to start. I don't want this guy to start. And I don't know if it's based on Matt Nagy not feeling like he's grasped the entire playbook or he doesn't feel comfortable with putting him out there as a rookie week one. I don't give a damn. That's why we had an offseason and a preseason. And the guy that played the best should be the guy that starts week one. But I relent. I relent to the people in Connecticut.
I mean, you know, we were really hoping for a more visceral reaction there, but later on in the show.
Somewhat subdued. Sure,
we'll get him angry a little later on. Dan, what's the biggest question you have for this Bears coaching staff right now?
Well, when is Justin Fields then going to play? Mm. Right. Like, when? Why is he going to play? And then what has to happen to get him on the field with Andy Dalton starting week one? Because I get cautious saying, well, if Andy Dalton doesn't play well, then it's Justin Fields' turn to play. Or if we start 0-2 or 0-3, then it's Justin Fields' turn to start. That's not fair. I hope that Matt Nagy sits back and goes, The what or the why will be that our offensive line has gotten it together just a little bit. Just a little bit to protect him. Because I go back to last year, Bears fans, and I think of the team that was starting with Mitchell Trubisky, and you guys were 2-0. And then you go on the road, against Atlanta. Halftime, we're going to bench him. Mitchell Trubisky was the quarterback of a 2-0 football team at halftime on the road, had 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions up until this point. And it was, we got to bench him. So you didn't bench him because the team was losing. You didn't bench him because he was playing terrible football. He wasn't playing great, but he was okay. So when and what is going to force Justin Fields onto the football field?
Yeah, you want to feel like there's some semblance of a plan. Because there's no football justification, Marcus. Everyone in this room, everyone in this country almost probably agrees with you. Like, if you have eyes and a pulse, you could see that Justin Fields electrified that offense. Not saying he's ready to, you know, light up regular season defenses, but he gives them the best chance to win. But there can still be a plan if internally they feel the offensive line is going to solidify. I mean, in the last game and in the preseason, they haven't had Jermaine Ifedi, who's their starting right tackle.
Right.
Jason Peters, who they signed in the offseason, is still onboarding. So perhaps internally there are discussions about, okay, maybe these two tackles are still coming back and the offensive line won't be in its best condition until later in the season. Tevin Jenkins, the rookie we traded up for, is going to come back from surgery later on. But that has to be the plan. It can't be holding your finger up to the wind and saying, well, it feels like now the fan base is angry enough, so okay, we're going to throw Justin Fields out there.
Because, Marcus, the wind is going to tell you if it's the fan base screaming they want Justin Fields.
Absolutely, but I want to go back to something Dan said maybe a month ago. Don't let experience be the reason you start a guy.
Right.
Because it's different. We in a different time, right? Like, yeah, D.O., to that point, and what Mina is reiterating, like, who gives you the best chance to win football games? And based on what we watch with this competition play out, it seems to me that Justin Fields does. And that is the football I grew up on, the knowledge. The guy that gives us the best opportunity to win games. Not about how it looks and all of that. But to each his own. Matt Nagy,
hey,
you got to live with
the
it,
The one thing is, you know, September 12th, the season opener against the Rams, Andy Dalton's going to have to deal with Aaron Donald. You wonder, could we see Justin Fields even in that game? Obviously, Andy Dalton starting the game. You never know. Maybe Justin Fields ends up
more
in the game. I know, there's a lot more time.
Don't
All right,
that.
Lots happening around the league. Adam, what's the latest, beginning with Carson Wentz?
Well, Laura, Carson Wentz is back at practice again today, and I think what the Colts are looking for is for him to continue to pile up practice after practice without experiencing any soreness and setbacks, which was the case today, which is another step towards him being ready for the regular season opener. The more of these practices he can string together, the better the chances are that he will be out there on opening day. Another player back at practice today, J.J. Watt, activated off the physically unable to perform list, practicing for the first time with the Arizona Cardinals, has his sights set on being ready for the regular season opener, is expected to be ready for the regular season opener. That's good news for Arizona. And meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills had Cole Beasley stay away from the facility along with Gabriel Davis, the wide receiver, Starlo Tulele. Those three players came into contact with a team trainer who was vaccinated. They were sent home. They did have negative COVID tests, but because they were in close proximity, they had to go home and will be away from the Buffalo Bills now for 5 consecutive days. One on the note, Robbie Anderson signed a 2-year extension with the Carolina Panthers for some big money today, Laura.
Yeah, Adam, remember, we're just 16 days away now from the regular season opener. It's coming fast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So did Jameis Winston really put some distance in this quarterback competition as well as he put on his throws? Well, I think so, but with more touchdowns and incompletions, both of Jameis Winston's touchdowns had at least 40 yards of air distance. You see that arm power there. The Saints had two passing touchdowns with 40-plus yards of air distance in the last two regular seasons combined, tied for fewest in the NFL. If you want to see the difference between what we saw with Drew Brees and what Jameis Winston's skill set can bring to this offense, you definitely saw that yesterday. Adam, where do we stand with the Saints quarterback situation at the moment?
Listen, Laura, I think Sean Payton wanted Jameis Winston to make a move last night, and that's exactly what happened during the game. Jameis Winston came out and played about as well as you could have expected. The Saints went into the game wanting to play Jameis Winston about 22 plays. He went two series, and after 16 plays, Sean Payton and the Saints had seen enough. He didn't even get to the allocated limit they wanted him to get to because they saw him throw the two touchdown passes and they saw him move into the lead for that starting quarterback job. After he played like that, it's hard to imagine that the Saints wouldn't make him the opening day starter against the Green Bay Packers. But as of this morning, Sean Payton still had not informed any of the quarterbacks of his decision, though I think the prevalent thinking, the common sense thinking, is that Jameis Winston is going to be out there against Aaron Rodgers on opening day.
So here's the deal. These quarterbacks, like, let's have some reality, right? Like, these quarterbacks are not in the same stratosphere when it comes to playing the position when one is playing at a high level and not turning the football over. And obviously, that's been the caveat we've talked about with Jameis Winston. But along with that, it's very important to point out how dynamic Jameis Winston was the season he threw the 30 interceptions. Let's go to the other side. 5,100 yards, 20-plus plays through the air during that season. That was also number one in the league. Now he's took a year off. He humbled himself to go sit with Sean Payton and Drew Brees and learn how to play the quarterback position without having to play games. Yeah. That is the maturation. Yeah. That is why you sit behind guys that do it at a very high level and learn not to give the football away. He wanted it bad, D.O. and Mina. Yeah, yeah. He wanted to push that thing down the field. But that voice in his head and that preparation said, I don't need to do this. I can live to play another possession. That's Jameis Winston maturation, and that's why I believe this will be a better offense than they were with Drew Brees last year.
You've got to think that Sean Payton, even watching that moment that you pointed out, that could have been the most important moment in determining this quarterback battle for him even last night. But, Mina, from the weapons standpoint, something stood out to you from one of Jameis's weapons last night. What was that?
Well, the weapons have been a concern. When Michael Thomas, when the injury was announced, I said on this show, might be one of the worst wide receiving groups in the NFL. Then, after preseason week one, I apologized to Marquez Callaway.
You said you would potentially apologize.
I got that out of the way because holy smokes, this dude. I mean, this ball, the first touchdown, like I was watching this on my small hotel TV, and I was like, why are they celebrating P.I. so much? Like, it's good that he got P.I. That's awesome. They're throwing the flag. And then I realized, oh my God, he caught it. Yeah. According to Next Gen Stats, that had the lowest completion probability of any catch by a New Orleans Saint over the last 4 years.
Wow.
And that's big for this offense because what it appears that they have in Callaway is a receiver who can win against man coverage. He can separate. But you also saw throughout the game, we've been playing the highlights of the deep balls. You also saw him settling into the zones, finding the soft
under
spots,
routes,
getting in some of those under routes as well. And, man, when Michael Thomas comes back, this is a nice group
Mina
of receivers.
Say, oh, my God, he caught it again.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, he caught it again, Mina.
I was in my hotel room jumping off my bed. Oh, my God.
The fact is, like, I'm going to petition for a live camera of Mina Kimes watching games in her hotel room. And the reality is we don't have Megacast to see some of that, too.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's get get to Patriots quarterback Cam Newton. He's out 5 days due to COVID protocols and a misunderstanding about tests conducted away from NFL facilities, which goes against the NFL and NFLPA protocols. Cam should be ready to go for the third and final preseason game, but here's Bill Belichick today with more.
If we couldn't gain anything by practicing, then why do we practice? Look, our entire team has opportunities every day, all the way through the week against the Giants and in the game. I hope we can all take advantage of those opportunities. I mean, look, there's a big learning curve for all rookies, and we all have a lot of work to do. We're 3 weeks into training camp. We've got a long way to go.
Marcus, what do you think about the situation in New England?
Listen, this was already a tight quarterback competition, and now that Mac Jones is going to have 5 days with Cam removed to practice, get reps, work with this first team, it's definitely going to weigh on the mind of Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. This is not good. I don't think Cam is going to lose his starting spot week one, but this damn sure ain't helping in his making his case to be the starter.
To the Ravens and quarterback Lamar Jackson, who has seen some of his prized weapons dropping like flies this preseason. Rashad Bateman, Hollywood Brown both dealing with injuries before the season even gets rolling. But still, Lamar feels confident he still has a leg up on NFL defenses.
I don't know if you've heard this, but some unnamed team official said that this is the year that people are going to be able to figure out Lamar Jackson. Have you heard, did you hear that? Or what would your reaction be if I didn't hear that?
I mean, I'm going to keep playing football. We're going to see. But I doubt it, dude. I doubt it. I strongly doubt it. We're going to play ball.
Dan, do NFL defenses finally figure out Lamar this season?
Yeah, good luck. You take this from somebody who ran a 6'2 in the 40-yard dash as a sophomore in high school. You can't catch things or figure them out that are faster than you. Or somebody who has to defend people on a basketball court that are quicker than you. No one's going to slow Lamar Jackson down other than Lamar Jackson. He's too fast and he's too good.
Yeah, Dan 6'2 was actually on a good day. Mina, let's say in the AFC North, what did you see from Big Ben over the weekend?
I was faster than Dan.
Okay, so Ben looked really sharp, but something that I found interesting was seeing him under center. Dan, we're going to talk about this a lot, with his back turned to the defense, handing off in play action. We've been wondering, what is it going to look like? Matt Canada, Ben Roethlisberger, who doesn't do the things I just described. We saw a little glimpse of it, and I thought that was encouraging and interesting.
Yeah, Adam was definitely faster than Dan. Let's go to Adam now, the quarterback situation in Denver. How does it stand right now as it pertains to Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke?
Well, Laura, we're waiting for Vic Fangio, the Broncos head coach, to officially announce his decision. He has praised Teddy Bridgewater for his presence in the pocket, comparing Bridgewater's presence to Tom Brady's presence in the pocket. That's usually a good sign. Drew Locke has played well, came into camp in shape, and played very well in his one preseason start against the Vikings, but still no official decision from Denver.
I'm going to say this for the 30th time this offseason. Teddy Bridgewater, as a starting quarterback of the Broncos, they're a playoff team. They're that good. Now, Vic Fangio is a defensive-minded head coach. I played for plenty of defensive-minded head coaches. I can promise you that they will not go into games or seasons and think, I'm okay with losing them because the quarterback's going to give the ball away. Yeah. That's not how they're wired. Defensive-minded head coaches, again, Vic Fangio, are going to think, we're going to play great defense. We'll play good special teams, and our quarterback is not going to give the ball away. And if we lose for reasons that our defense isn't good enough, I'll be okay with that because I believe in my defense. So I think it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. I also believe that they have five skill position guys that are on the verge of breaking out with Vic Fangio as the head coach. Cortland Sutton coming off the ACL. He's on the verge of becoming a dominant wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy looks fantastic at wide receiver. Can be dominant. KJ Hamler can become a dominant slot receiver. Noah Fant at tight end is going to become a dominant tight end in Javonte Williams. This team is talented at the skill position. All they need is Teddy to be a distributor of the football.
Yeah, they've got depth behind them too. Melvin Gordon, right?
Tim Patrick.
Like, such a stacked roster. I know Vic was impressed by Teddy because he compared him to Tom Brady. Now, what I actually said, I want to put the proper context. He said there are quarterbacks who are mobile and they run around, and there are quarterbacks who have elusiveness in the pocket. Tom Brady being the master of manipulating the pocket, those little subtle movements. And he said Teddy's got some of that after last week. And I like that quote because that's what stood out to me too, Dan, watching him in week two with the ones was the movement inside the pocket, those little subtle movements, stepping up, avoiding pressure, keeping his eyes downfield, making plays. He looked better than Drew Locke. Now, Drew Locke also played with the backups, which is why You know, this has been an ongoing, very close quarterback competition. But if round one was close, Teddy unambiguously won round two. I don't know if that's going to be enough for Vic to make the decision before the final game or if it's going to come down to the wire. But at this point, for me, Teddy has the lead based on what he's done in the preseason.
Well, Mina, look at this. Drew Lock came in and played and started in the preseason opener against Minnesota and played about as well as he could. And after that game, Vic Fangio said, it's even Steven, the quarterback competition. That's the exact phrase he used, even Steven. So if it's even Steven when Drew Lock plays his best, and then the next week Teddy Bridgewater comes out and lights it up against Seattle and hits all his passes and doesn't turn over the football, and you have an organization that under Vic Fangio hasn't won a game in September.
Correct.
And is looking to try to get out to a fast start. I think that maybe the thinking would be to go to the veteran, the guy that doesn't turn it over. But Drew Lock has been impressive this summer, and it's a big decision that Vic Fangio has to make.
Yeah, they're at least in a good situation from the standpoint they've got two options that they feel decent about. We had to kick Marcus Spears out of the quarterback conversation there. Let's get him back in here and talk a little defense. Talk about some sack masters. T.J. Watt ended up leading the NFL in sacks last season with 15. Aaron Donald second behind him with 13.5. So what about this season? Who's going to wreck quarterback's days at the highest rate? Let's look ahead to the 2021 projected sack leaders exclusively on ESPN+. Watt's projected to be first again, followed by Shaquille Barrett, who recorded the second most first pressures last season. Rounding out that top three, Chandler Jones. He missed most of last season with the bicep injury, recorded 19 sacks in 2019, right behind Barrett's 19.5. So, Marcus, who's going to be the sack leader at the end of the season?
It'll be Chandler Jones. And one of the reasons is he's going to have fresh legs, but adding J.J. Watt. And remember this, y'all, Vance Joseph likes to bring pressure with this defense, especially from secondary level guys. Chandler Jones will find himself with one-on-ones. And I love defensive coordinators who puts their best pass rushers in positions not to get double-teamed and chipped all over the place. Chandler Jones, to me, with fresh legs, will lead the league in sacks.
I cannot believe Myles Garrett wasn't on that list. I was surprised. I'll say his name. I think he's going to benefit this season from a couple of things. One, the presence of Jadeveon Clowney for, you know, all of his inability to pick up sacks. He does create pressure, and I think he's going to be lined up on the inside and also better play in the secondary. Myles could pick up some coverage sacks as well with improved play back there. So I think it's going to be a big year for him in the Cleveland Browns.
Wow, you guys are really going out on a limb here. I'm going to go with a little bit of dark horse, freshman. Gregory Rousseau.
Gregory
Rousseau was the 30th pick for the Buffalo Bills in the NFL draft this year from Miami. 5.9 every, I'm going to get this statistic right. Got a sack every 5.9 rushes last year, which led the FBS. I think he's a big-time talent. He's going to be playing opposite Jerry Hughes in your reference to Myles Garrett playing opposite Jadeveon Clowney. I think their secondary is great. Leslie Frazier is going to put him in a ton of positions to get a ton of one-on-ones. I'm going with the dark horse, Rousseau.
Oh, man, Dan with a dark horse. Marcus.
Yeah, you definitely went out on the limb there, but that limb going to break, crack, and you're going to fall from 10, 15 feet off that damn tree. Talking about Russo going to lead the league in sacks. It's going to be Chandler Jones.
I
like Myles Garrett, Mina.
I land on my feet.
Says the guy who claims he ran a 6.240, but he might have had a tailwind behind him.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Hey, want to know which quarterback has the highest passer rating among all quarterbacks this preseason? I'll give you a hint. It's the guy that you're seeing on the screen. It's Jets rookie Zach Wilson, and he's also the only rookie quarterback who's not taken a sack. To put it very mildly, he's doing quite well. We talked plenty about Zach Wilson's ability to stretch the field leading up to the draft, right? He's been showing that off in the preseason. Through two games, Wilson's 5-for-5 on passes, 10-plus yards downfield. That perfect completion percentage on those passes is 37% over expectations. What has stood out to you about Zach Wilson with what you've seen from your perspective so far?
Yeah, all the stuff that Dan talked about, obviously, is super impressive. And I don't want people to fly off the handle when I say this. But it reminds me a little bit of Aaron Rodgers. And y'all know I hate comparisons to young guys and veterans until I see them do it. But what I'm not talking about how he plays the game or the success. I'm talking about how he, with ease, gets rid of the football and his ability to place the football in crazy ways. Like Dan just pointed out, throwing that ball to the back of the tight end to keep him away from the safety. The ease in which he can flick the football and put it exactly where he wants to. That is a trait that is synonymous with Aaron Rodgers. When I was sitting in defensive meetings, getting ready to play against the Green Bay Packers, defensive coordinators, Mike Zimmer and Rob Ryan, all of these guys talked about the ability to place the ball. Even when you think the guy is covered, Aaron Rodgers is good enough to put the rock somewhere where you cannot get to it. And I remember our DBs looking like, well, what the hell are we supposed to do? Nothing. Try to get to it. Best of luck. He has some of that trait in him, man, and it's been impressive to watch.
Well, I don't want to be the pump the brakes guy.
Oh, come on. I think you're pump the brakes guy. Come
and
on.
I don't want to because Zach Wilson's impressed me more than any of the rookie quarterbacks. Now, I think he's in a better situation, certainly, than Trevor Lawrence, who we're going to talk about, and Justin Fields, but he has checked every box as a Jets fan you would have wanted to see coming into the season. Throwing with, you know, that beautiful touch, anticipation, leading his receivers even away from danger, as Dan explained there, making plays both within structure and outside of it, which was something, of course, he excelled at BYU. He's been spectacular. The only thing he hasn't done, Laura, is he hasn't done it against a real starting NFL defense. And that, like, there's nothing you can do. You play the team in front of you. But watching those Packers highlights before the show, it did occur to me that I did not recognize many of the names on the jerseys. I don't think they played any of their starters. And again, every coach takes a different approach to the preseason. The coaches in the Sean McVay tree, including Matt LaFleur, seem to be very averse to playing their starters. Robert Saleh is playing Zach Wilson with many of his starters, and that's great. But it could be a little bit different come week one.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
New on NFL Live, Cowboys reporter Todd Archer with an update from camp on Dak, saying he went through group pass period of practice for the first time, calling plays, going through reads before making throws. He didn't take any team snaps, but it's exciting to have him back in there with us a little bit more each day, every day. That a quote from Blake Jarwin. Good news for Dak, but some bad news for the Jaguars is Travis Etienne out for the season. Adam Schefter, what more can you tell us?
Well, Travis Etienne suffered a midfoot sprain, Laura. It's a Lisfranc injury. He's going to undergo surgery, and the Jacksonville Jaguars already have placed him on injured reserve, which means he cannot be brought back this season. His rookie year is over before it begins. A terrible blow to the Jacksonville offense, a terrible blow to the young rookie running back. Would have been great to see him in action, and now we'll have to wait until 2022.
Yeah, reminder that the Jags picked him up in the first round, and it's been a rough start for Trevor Lawrence in the NFL with the Jaguars. There's also been some promise, though, right? Despite a small sample size of the five rookie first-round quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, the only one with a positive completion percentage over expectation. And on third and long in that same metric, he ranks third among the entire NFL. Of course, the numbers tell a story there, too. What is going wrong? Well, he's been pressured on 37% of his dropbacks this preseason. That's second most among quarterbacks, with at least 25 dropbacks on Monday, pressured on 42% of the dropbacks. Dude. And yeah, it makes you say, geez, dude, because if you watched last night, you're just thinking, can this guy get any help? Adam, one game left in the preseason. Urban Meyer still hasn't committed to Lawrence as a starting quarterback. What do you know about the timetable on that decision?
I know everybody's dubious of the fact that they could start Gardner Minshew, but the fact of the matter is Urban Meyer himself continues to not end this quarterback challenge, and he continues to say he doesn't have a starter yet. And I think there's a fear within the Jaguars organization that if they stick Trevor Lawrence out there too soon, where he's going to be hit as often as he has been this preseason, that they could risk his long-term future. And they want to be very smart about it. It's not like Gardner Minshew essentially has outplayed him by so much that they essentially want to turn it over. They want to guard the face of the franchise, bring him along slowly, and it goes to what we're seeing in all the other cities, like Chicago with Justin Fields, and San Francisco with Trey Lance, and New England with Mac Jones. Some of these organizations want to take it very slowly. That doesn't mean that Trevor Lawrence won't start an opening day, Marcus Spears. Pick up your head, chin up. There's enough of that, okay? But, again, we just don't have an official decision yet from Urban Meyer. That's all.
Why the head in the hands, Marcus, as Adam's giving us this information?
Absolutely. Chef, they know he's my guy, and he know that this is not geared towards him. But, see, this is the problem that I run into with this type of thought. From Jacksonville, what about the other 52 guys? Are you putting the best guy out there to give them an opportunity to win games? Because we get so locked in on these quarterback situations that we forget that there are other guys that want to win and benefit from having a chance to win games. I'm not saying Warner Minshew is not good enough. Go ahead, Shefty.
There are 52 other guys. None of those 52 other guys means as much to the future of this franchise is Trevor Lawrence. That's the fact of the matter.
Shefty, we don't disagree on that. But the point is, when you take a guy one overall, you think you're taking a generational guy, and you think you believe that he's the guy now. Like, that's why you take him, because you think it's now. You remember you and I had to fight about Mac Jones and San Fran? Because he wasn't the guy now. Like, I know that Trevor Lawrence should be the starter, but the fact that this is playing out and then we watch what we watch is a problem for me, Shefty.
Okay, so the thing is, Mina, to the point of the other guys on the team, yeah. When Lawrence is on the field, the team is still struggling. Where do you think the lion's share of this blame falls?
It starts with the offensive line. Well, really, it starts with the general manager, because they knew what the condition of the offensive line was going into the season. Now, should be noted, this is the offensive line we saw against New Orleans is not the offensive line we're going to see in week one. They franchise tag Cam Robinson, left tackle, didn't play. Andrew Norwell is on the big contract at guard, didn't play. Brandon Linder, who's the center and the best player on the line, didn't play. So three-fifths of your starters are out, and I think that's important.
60%.
That's wild, though.
Wow, Dan, that's impressive.
You're playing Trevor Lawrence, though, and you've got that O-line out there. Like,
quick math going on around here. No, but it matters a lot. But it is also why I'm frankly perplexed by the logic that you don't start – you're making this a competition to keep Lawrence safe.
Because, yes,
you know,
Mina.
Like, these dudes are going to start. They're going to be the same. The starters week one are going to be the starters week two are going to be the starters week three.
That would be my piggyback point is off Shefty saying they want to take it slow. I'm fine with that. Then don't play him in a preseason game with three starters.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to take it slow, then say you're going to take it slow. Hey, three starters aren't going to play on our offensive line. Trevor Lawrence, who the guy that is the most important person in our organization for the next 10 years, is not going to play.
And that would be fine.
Yeah, that's fine. This is my feelings coming off it. Stop boxing the young man in, okay? Stop boxing this generational talent in. Stop treating play calling. Listen, this is a freakazoid athlete, 6'6", 240. And you guys are calling plays like he's Matt Leinart. And it's not a shot at Matt Leinart. He's my boy. But he's a stationary dude. I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes, his first year as a starter in Kansas City, just going, we're going to unleash him. Or Josh Allen last year with Brian and Dable going, we're going to unleash him. Stop boxing the young man in. Either give him the job or don't.
I just want to say I'm going to start calling pocket passers stationary dudes from now on.
Yeah, they're an SD. Marcus, go ahead.
He's my boy.
I don't know why the hell he ain't used himself instead of Matt Leinart. But here's the deal. Listen, this is the problem that I had watching last night, okay? The problem I had watching last night was the body language of the coaches on the sideline. You got a young kid out there trying to do what it takes to play well, who's taking this on himself in the presser after the game. And every time he walked to the sideline, Urban Meyer and the rest of the coaching staff look like they have no damn clue of what to tell him. At least smile at the guy that's out there taking pressure and getting knocked around, being pressured every damn play. I hated what I saw from the sideline with Jacksonville last night.
Real quick, I've seen this horror movie before. I'll be clear, Jacksonville, fix it. Fix your offensive line and fix your scheme, or you have no shot.
We got time for one more thing before we go. And for that, we just wanted to say thank you to everyone for joining us on a crazy ride that started exactly 1 year ago today. Welcome to NFL Live. We are so glad you've chosen to join us.
Look at me. You can see me.
Dan's dancing. I'm uncomfortable. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
And Philip Rivers is making this face. Okay?
I'm not just saying that to be hyperbolic. I just found out what that meant today.
Why haven't you sacked Nick Foles yet?
Thanks for the motivation.
Yeah, big trust.
Whoa, whoa.
I'm going to end this case. Mina Kimes wins.
I am totally a dude and I will bite off your kneecap. Watch out.
See, this is exactly why I love Adam Schefter.
If you can't laugh at yourself in this year, 2020, when are you going to laugh at yourself?
Having your dream job and being able to do it every day is crazy. It still ain't registered to me.
Okay, but the biggest shout out is deserved to everyone behind the scenes, our producers,
our
entire We could not have done this without all of you. We're so thankful to Mark, Susan, Michelle, Ashley, Jay. I'm going to forget people, but we love all of you so incredibly much. And thanks to everybody at home for watching. We are only getting started, guys.
We got
a whole other year,
Brandy.
And hopefully a lot more of this to come. Yeah, we didn't forget you, B. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.